The Holy Spirit, amen. We pray our prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it. May always welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seed of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we will continue with our letters, Luisa's letters, trying to see the teaching of the divine will in the message contained in each one of her correspondence to different people.
Letter number 69 to Mother Cecilia, In Voluntate Dei. My good and reverend mother, forgive me if I did not soon write you, as there is no greater good we can wish to each other than wanting the divine will alone to reign within us. We will have God himself in our power, his sanctity, his love. Everything will be ours. There is no good done in heaven and on earth that will not be ours. We will be the help of all. Together with Jesus, we will have one single breath, one single heartbeat, one single motion together with him. Seas of sanctity and beauty will flow in every act we do, such that God himself will remain enraptured. Therefore, my mother, there is no greater love I could have for you, but to wish to see you enclosed in the divine will. Jesus will never put us aside. He will let us do whatever he does and will be all attentive on us to make of us his image. He wants us to be like him in everything. And since we cannot do it because we are too small, he gives us of his own to obtain his intent of giving. But he wants to find us always in his will. Otherwise, he would lack the divine material in order to give us his likeness. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. You see the simplicity that Luisa uses to just teach the divine will in a very simple letter. In my end, basically just evangelizing through a simple conversation using this letter with Sister Cecilia. And she's so right when she says, you know, that there is to wish you to live in the divine will is the greatest good I can wish for you, the greatest gift. Seas of sanctity and beauty will flow in every act that we do. As I was looking at this letter early, one of the passages that I came across this week of the Book of Heaven is March 12, 1938. That's from volume 35. In that passage, our Lord speaks to Luisa Picaretta. Even though it's one of the higher passages on the from the Book of Heaven, the 35 volume, our Lord still is talking to Luisa about the effects that the divine will have in the soul of the person, and how much he is just waiting and looking for the soul who has the smallest, even the smallest desire to possess this gift, that he is willing to go and to run to that soul, and then to give the soul the capacity to be able to enclose a little by little everything that the divine will is. And even though it is a higher passage, it is very basic at the same time with the teachings in the early volumes, because in the early volumes, our Lord Jesus is telling Luisa Picarreta how to detach herself of the from the world, and then how to immerse basically herself, how to call the divine will in every single act. That's the whole purpose of the prevenient act and the actual act, to invite the divine will to fill us with itself. First of all, to be filled in order to be able to be recognized basically by the rest of creation. Because creation still is fixed in the will of God, and they have not moved, they have not separated themselves from the will of God. It is only us that through that fall of Adam, we were removed, we lost the gift, and then we were supposed to be like him, and we are not now. We are unlike him, basically. So we know that baptism configures us to Christ, and there in the sacrament, the whole thing begins anew for us. The whole thing begins, and then we begin to be filled, basically, with the will of God. So that event that happens in baptism should continue in us over and over and over and over and over. The thing is that before we didn't know how to continue that life that God initiated in us in baptism. Now, through the writings of Luisa Picarreta, through the whole gift of the divine will, we know that at every moment, we are supposed to be filled with God himself, with everything that he is. That every single act should be an occasion, a pretext, a channel, a vehicle, in whatever way you want to see it, so that God will fill you, will fill us, and will expand and give us that capacity that we lack, so that we can really be filled with the divine will, so that the divine will can be enclosed in us. And now, as filled with the divine will, of course, then we can immerse ourselves back in the divine will, possessing his own light and life in us. Because then in that way, he cannot reject us, because he will not be able to reject himself in us, basically, or to reject his light in us. And this is exactly what it was happening again at the beginning of creation, when the Catechism tells us that original state of blackness, the original state of greatness in which he was created, basically was a participation of the divine life. That the thing that God was doing was he was sharing everything that he was or that he is with the creature. Yes, we were basically the containers receiving God, the containers of God, everything that he is. I always mention this passage from the Catechism because it's very important to have it in mind, to understand what Adam was doing at the beginning of his life before the fall, that this grace of original justice and holiness, as the Catechism says in 375, that we call it the state of holiness and justice, the original holiness, basically that God was sharing his life. And the life of God is divine, so he was sharing his divine life with the creature, us. And this is what he wants to do again. This is the original plan, this is the original sanctity. And I mentioned that passage from Volume 35 because that passage, if you have time during the week to go and read it and meditate upon it, is exactly what the Lord is telling to Luisa Picaretta, that as long as we operate outside of the divine will, basically without our own human will, without having the divine life enclosed in us, then we will not be able to acquire that capacity. We will not be able to correspond to God because we will always find ourselves outside, basically. And the creature is supposed to be configured to God at every moment. Again, it begins in baptism. That configuration continues in confirmation, receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and then through a sacramental life, right? Leaving sin behind, always making everything possible so that we can be filled with that divine light and life that emanates, that flows also from the sacraments. So now it's not only through the sacraments that we receive that divine life, it is through every single act, as Adam and Eve was doing before the fall, as they were doing. They didn't have sacraments at the beginning because they didn't need the sacraments. The sacraments, they are, as we see, they heal. The sacrament of baptism heals us from the original from original sin. It erases the wound of original sin, even though it lives in us, the concupiscence. That is the thing that we that remains after baptism, but it heals us. And so the other sacraments, they heal us. That's why even the church classifies them as sacraments of healing, sacraments of service, and so on. So it is not only through the sacraments that now we have the opportunity to be filled with this divine light, but to go back as Adam and Eve were doing before the fall. Now through this gift, and now we know that by uniting ourselves to the divine will and having that intention, calling the divine will to fill us first with itself, then we immerse ourselves in God himself, and then he cannot reject us, as Luisa Picaretta will say, because he will not be able to reject his own life, right? And even when we are in sin, so this is also the teaching of the church, that God doesn't reject the person. It's the sin that is rejected. So when we are in sin, there is that barrier. God still loves us. He doesn't change his love for us because he's mercy itself. He doesn't reject us. He doesn't cease to love us. He always loves us. It is the sin that he cannot love in us. And that's where our work comes in, that we have to use our human will to reject the sin, to be closer to the sacraments, to be closer to the church, and to receive the grace that flows from the sacraments and now to be able, once we have that grace, once we have availed ourselves and prepared ourselves to receive this grace, now that also emanate from every single act, then we will continue to grow at every moment. That's how he gives us that capacity to grow and to become like him. Lisa Picaretta mentions here, Jesus will never put us aside. He will let us do whatever he does and will be all attentive on us to make us his image. He wants us to be like him in everything. He became like us in everything except sin. So now we are able to be like him in everything. He wants us to be like him in everything. And since we cannot do it because we are small, he gives us of his son to obtain his intent of giving. So what is it that impedes that spiritual growth or that expansion of the soul, that capacity in us is sin in our human will? St. Augustine already talks about that expansion of the soul in his sermons, in his letters. When he talks about this, he mentions something like God talks to us through desires. And then he uses prayer basically so that we may exercise ourselves in asking for that he puts in our heart, those desires. So when we pray for those desires and when they, of course, are according to the will of God, he will grant those desires of our heart. But it is through prayer that St. Augustine says God makes us exercise ourselves. So in that prayer, he expands our capacity to receive. Now, if we all have the desire to possess the will of God in our hearts, we know that that's a true desire because this is what God intended from the beginning. And even the Catechism of the Church tells us, right, in the passage that I mentioned, 375. He desires to share his life with us. I mentioned not only through the sacraments, but now at every moment of our life, through the acts. So now he given us this desire to possess the will, his will in us, and us exercising ourselves by asking in prayer. And also with our own acts, preparing ourselves through the sacraments to receive this gift. Now, through every single act, he's able to expand our capacity to receive. That's why, in this way, he gives us of his son. There is one condition that Luisa Picaretta mentions here, but he wants to find us always in his will. Otherwise, he will lack the divine material in order to give us his likeness. So here we find ourselves again that the human will has to, we have to renounce to our human will. We have to give way to the divine will. We will always have our human will that cannot be taken from us. And that's where our merit is too. And if we look at the life of the Blessed Mother, this is also where the merit of the Blessed Mother is, that she always possesses the ability to say no. But at every moment she said yes. So her whole life is basically one single act saying yes. And then the other, we see the basically the consequence Of that, yes, of that single, yes. But if we look at her life, then her life, we can say is one single act, one single yes, right? That's the way we were supposed, or we were intended to live. Now, through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus through his reconciliation. Now he has brought us back again, giving us the ability to receive this gift. And if we accept it, our Lord says in this passage, I'm just going to read a little bit of this passage that I think you should go and read during the week. It says the following. Where should I begin? Because it is so rich. Okay, let's begin here. He says, and since talking about the divine will and those who live in the divine will, and since this is life reborn in us many times and grow within us, we have infused in her all the attributes necessary to be able to receive the sowing of our divine lives. When we allow the divine will to fill us, and when we have that intention that we want to be united with the divine will, and then we have this intention that we want to be filled with God Himself. He says we receive that seed in us, and the divine life grows in us. He says these lives are the most precious. They possess the creative virtue. They have our same value. We can say ourselves. We ourselves form many of our lives, and sow them within the creature. Comparing these lives to the sun, its light remains like shadow before them. So this is very important. He says that basically you go back to volume 14 when he talks about the prevenient and the actual acting, when he says that these acts of the divine will, they are like suns, one more beautiful than the other, more refulgent, full of light. What he's saying here is saying that if you compare the acts done in the divine will with the light of the sun remains like a shadow before the sun. Before the acts. So the acts done in the divine will compared to the sun, the sun will remain like a shadow before them. So this is the magnitude, because in us, that light continues to increase and increase and increase and increase because God is infinite. That's why Luis Abigarreta says that he gives us of his son to give us the capacity to receive. And then he says, now we see the effects in the soul, and then we will see the effects in heaven. He says, the expanse of heaven is small compared to them. Would you like to know what the use of these lives of our will be, which have been formed with so much love in the creature? They will serve to populate the earth and to generate the life of our will in the human family. My daughter, our life never dies. It is eternal within us. Therefore, they are all in waiting to take possession of the creatures in order to form one single life with them, So the divine will was to form one single light with us, with our acts. Then later on, he says, our love for this creature who receives the sowing of our divine lives is so great that as we speak to her about our will, our eternal love pours over her, unleashes itself, and feels love in return. So the weight of the human ingratitude, right? So basically the human ingratitude that God receives then is compensated. He feels compensated for that human ingratitude of everybody. He says, we find one who loves us with our own love. And this has the virtue of making up for all the love that all the creatures should give us. So the love of God deposit in the creature. When the creature loves God back, then this love that is God's love deposited in the creature and now being exercised through the acts of the creature has the power to compensate, has the power of making up for what other creatures don't do. And then he goes on and he says, it has the power of burning evils. Right? Our love finds in her our refreshment, and finally, our victory. Our victory. So we love her infinitely, with infinite love. So remember, God doesn't cease to love the creature. He doesn't cease to love us. He always loves us. But it is us that we do not let ourselves be loved. Right? So in the words of Saint Isabel of the Blessed Trinity, in her own words, the title of the letter that she wrote, let yourself be loved. So we should let ourselves be loved by God through this gift. He will be able to expand our capacity, and then we will be basically, we will be the channels through which he will be able to receive. And as he says, he will be able to make up for what the race of humanity, or what all the human race, we don't do and we are supposed, so we are obliged to do. Let's continue with the next letter.
Letter number 70, In Voluntate Dei. My good daughter in the divine volition, here I am to make you content. I have not abandoned you, nor did your mission get lost. Whatever one does for God is never lost. Rather, the seed is formed, which in sprouting makes life be born again, more flourishing, strong, and beautiful. Everything you have done, both for yourself and for others, are seeds that you have formed, seeds which make the life of the divine will be born again. However, our cooperation is needed, our repeated acts in the fiat, which, like beneficial water, water the seed in order to form the life. And once the life has been formed, it takes our will united with His to make it grow. It takes our continuous love in order to nourish it. Therefore, nothing is lost for us if we really want to live from the divine will. This life exists within us. It did not escape. However, one must not abandon it, but make it grow and nourish it. The trouble is rather for those who have not yet known it, because knowledge is necessary in order to possess. Therefore, courage, my daughter, do not draw back. The will of God is ours and life of ours. God gave it to us as principle of life in the act of creating us. When he brought us to the light, nobody can take it away from us, neither the Holy Church nor God himself. It would be as though wanting to force us to live without breathing, without motion, which is impossible. They can take away the books from us, but the divine will, no one has the right to take it away. The most consoling thing for a human heart is to be able to say, whatever God wants, I want. Whatever God does, I do. The heavens open at these acclamations in order to unite creator and creature, so that whatever one does, the other may do as well. Therefore, continue your mission and offer it for the triumph of the divine will. Besides, I always remember you, and I place you in the divine will, in which I want to find you always. For pity's sake, never get out of it. Do not give me this sorrow. I did something for you, therefore I want to be paid. And do you know what pay I want? That you never get out of the divine will. I thank Reverend D.B. very much for his thought, and I return his wishes from the heart. May he offer a moment for me during Holy Mass. We here are under profound humiliations. God alone knows what we are going through, so we need much prayer that the Lord may give us strength. I kiss his right hand, and may he bless me. As far as the volumes, they are no longer in my power. Thea, Thea, let us try to convert all things, all bitternesses, and these painful encounters that cost me my life. Let us suffer everything in the will of God. Let us remain peaceful so that his life may grow more beautiful within us. I send you my wishes for the new year, all of divine will. I leave you in it to make yourself a saint, the little daughter of the divine will, 1939. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. See, again, in here, this Luisa Vigarreta, this letter resonates with this passage a little bit because she's talking about the seeds. The seeds that you have formed, seeds which make the life of the divine will be born again. In this passage, the Lord says that each word, he says, each word we say is one of our lives, right? Which we deliver. It is a birth which we give to the light. Every word that we pronounce on our fiat is a life that we expose, which puts itself in communication with the creatures. And then again, it says, every knowledge which we manifest carries our kiss so that the creature may form our life at every breath. It puts us in communication even with the whole creation. Why? Because again, going back to the catechism, we know that when God created the sun, the moon, the stars. When he pronounced that first fiat lux, he was thinking in every one of us. He was thinking in every one of us, in every single person that has lived, is living, and will ever live. The whole creation, everything that God has done, is the catechism says, is he did it for the creature, for us. So he did creation for all of us. He had each one of us in mind when he was creating, that one day each one of us will come and will contemplate and will thank God. And this is what we do in the rounds. We look at the sun, at the moon, and we see the attributes of God there, the light. So we love God with his own light. We put our I love you in every single of the rays of the sun, in what God is, light itself. And with that, we ask for the gift to be bestowed upon each one of us and upon the whole human race. So it put us in connection because creation is there to serve us. 358 of the Catechism says God created everything for men. When the Catechism uses the word man, he's referring to the whole human race, all mankind. And then we, in return, we were created to serve and love God and to offer all creation back, to offer everything that He had done for us with that same love, with every one of the attributes of God visible in the nature that we are able to see and understand them to correspond God in that same way. So that was the way. And now he is telling us, Luisa Picaretta says that knowledge is necessary in order to possess this gift. The trouble is for those who have not yet known this gift. And this is where we, as recipients of this gift, we also have basically the responsibility or the duty to make it known to others, beginning with those in our home and those that God has put under our care and those who God has entrusted to us. So if you are a married man, married woman, then you know this gift, and then your duty is to share this gift now with your children, your grandchildren, right? You cannot impose it. But then, as long as you put it up there, you make it known. Our acts, in another part of the Book of Heaven, the Lord says, our acts, they have the power to open basically the door for others to come and to know the gift. So we do both. We do our acts in the divine will. We pray for the gift of the divine will to be bestowed upon our loved ones. And we make it known in our own situations. In the writings of Maria Valtorta, our Lord Jesus uses the phrase, and Maria Valtorta, she often is thinking about those outside also of her family. And our Lord says, family first, Maria. You must pray for your family first, for the members of your family. And each one of us, we have different vocations. The Lord has called us in a different way. But we are all called to evangelize in there, wherever the Lord has planted us and wherever the Lord has sent us. And in this way, making this gift known, in a way, all of you who are listening and who are reading the books, you already have this knowledge. You already have this see, some more than others, right? Each word the Lord says, we speak, is one of our lives. It has the power to create. So the more we read, the more the Lord is able to give us, the more He's able to expand our capacity, the more we are able to understand, the more we avail ourselves to the grace of the Holy Spirit to work in us. So, knowledge is important. Knowledge is basic also because without that, we will not be able to contain those seeds that the Lord is talking about. And remember, those seeds, they have the power to grow and to expand in the soul. We know that one of the powers of the soul is the intellect. And there you can see how this notion of expanding really works. Even though we don't see it, we are able to experience it. Because if the will of God is working in our heart, I mean in our soul, we know that the will has three, excuse me, that the soul has three powers: will, intellect, and memory. If the will, the human will, yields to the divine will, then the divine will be able to feel the other senses, the other powers, which is the intellect, with the light, dispelling the darkness. Basically, we can say that one of the effects of the fall is that the intellect became darkened. And since the will of God is light itself, once we are filled with that, it will have the power to dispel the darkness of the intellect, which is ignorance of God. We will be able to penetrate, as the Lord says in another part of the Book of Heaven, the divine truths easily. And then he says, this is one of the signs that I will give to those, right, who possess my will. They will be able to understand, to penetrate the divine truths easily. They will have that peace that Elisa Picaretta is talking about at the end, that is necessary for the will of God to grow in us. And then, of course, he says, the joy of the saints. That even though they experience many sufferings and trials, like Luisa Picaretta, they are able to say, wherever God wants, I want. Wherever He does, I do. This is how this divine science works in us. And this is how we avail ourselves also. We talk about availing ourselves through the sacraments, disposing ourselves through the sacraments, now also through the study of this divine science. The will of God is ours, yes, it's our inheritance, because this is the plan, the original plan of God, that we will possess this gift. That will allow us to really love God with His own love and to allow us to be loved by God. This is the original sanctity. This is the original sanctity. That's why He also says in the Book of Heaven that when he finds these creatures, right? God loves so much this creature that he pours and unleashes all his love, as much as the creature is able to contain, and continues to increase and increase and increase, and it just becomes a rhythm, a way of living, a way of life. The creature receiving, God giving, and the creature giving back, and it just becomes, we can say, one act of giving and receiving. And this is what we are called to do, basically the life that our Lord Jesus lived in in his humanity, and the life that the Blessed Mother possessed. We know that we are not we are not in the moment that, or at the time that the church is able to really promulgate these writings. But we know that the church has not condemn Luisa Picaretta. We know that the Hours of the Passion, the Blessed Mothers, in the Kingdom of Divine Will, the volume 1 to 19 have been approved, and we know that the rest, they are under the study. So the spirituality of living in the divine will, once we know that this way of life is the original sanctity, that this is the way that God intended for us, and that it requires for us to be in that constant, basically, state of grace through the sacraments, that immediately unites us with the church. That immediately unites us with the church. If you live a sacramental life, immediately you are united with the church. You are united with the body of Christ, and you are able to receive that divine life that flows through the sacraments. Now, living in this way in the divine will is a very mystical way, in a very also in a very active way, because it requires that mystical part of it, of being in that constant awareness of the presence of the divine will working in me. The constant awareness that God wants to breathe, to palpitate, to be in me, that I am that channel through which he's able to make up for all the human race. So that's one of the aspects of of this way of living that is very mystical. You don't see it. And then the other one is very active also, because it requires for us to read, to meditate on these divine truths, and to unite ourselves in the will of God. So you see that when Luisa Picaretta says that the will of God is ours, he gave us. And something very important here as principle of life, that we are here because the divine will wish it for us to be here, that God thought that we exist in the mind of God, that he thought in each one of us. So in that sense, each one of us is a fiat of God. We have our being because God thought in each one of us. And at the moment of our conception, right? He desired to bring us to the light, to the world. But from all eternity, we have been in the mind of God. Right? We have been conceived in the mind of God. And it is through His will, God willing it. So that's the principle, the will of God willing it. God willing it. God willing for each one of us to exist. So the principle of life is the divine will. Without the will of God, nothing will exist. He has to will it first. And then He will that we may have this gift. It is His will. But it was the will of man who departed from this union in which God created Adam and Eve. And even though it is not our fault, it is that we experience the consequence of that first act of Adam and Eve. But now we also have the gift, the great gift, to be able to go back. Something that not even Adam had. You stop and think. After the fall, he didn't have the ability to go back because he needed the reconciliation. And this is what our Lord Jesus did. So we have now the ability to go back again, something that not even Adam and Eve had. And I will say, not even the prophets of the Old Testament, or the people of the Old Testament. Now, through this gift, we have the ability to go back. So that's why knowledge is important to know. And now that we know this gift, nobody can take it from us. Nobody, only basically only us can take it from ourselves. Because if we say no to the gift, then God cannot do anything because He will never override the human will. He will call us over and over and over, and He will do the impossible, everything that is needed for us to go back, basically to conquer us. Or to reconquer us back. But it is always the human will. The freedom is always there. And again, going back to what I said before, and that is where our merit is also. There we find our merit. To renounce to our human will, to give way to the divine will, and to say again, whatever God wants, I want. Whatever God does, I do. Right? And in difficult moments, I know that it can be very difficult, but if we entrust completely ourselves to the divine will and we just make that trust, that declaration of trust. That even though I don't understand why this sickness, I don't understand why this situation, even when you read, I don't understand the passage, but I trust that whatever you say here is truth. And I desire to possess this gift, and you just beg for the gift to be bestowed upon you and continue in perseverance. He will give us the light that we need to understand. He is the one who does it. He's more interested in us possessing this gift than even ourselves. So He will do it. So He is waiting for a creature who wants to receive, who wants this gift. Right? So with that, let us finish. Let us ask our Lord Jesus to give us the grace to really possess this gift and to grow in the grace of the possession of the knowledge and the understanding of this gift for us, for our loved ones, and for all those whom the Lord has put under our care. And for all those who ask us for prayers, asking the Lord to give them the gift of His will that suffices for everything. Through the intercession of the Blessed Mother, we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever.